Welcome to Franchise Empires, where aspiring entrepreneurs learn exactly what it takes to become a successful franchise owner, from one location to 10 and beyond. I'm the Wolf of Franchises. Hey everyone, it's the Wolf. Today on the show, it is just me. I am doing a monologue and I have 10 juicy stats in the franchise industry. This might not be as entertaining as an interview with a, storied guest or anything like that. However, I promise you, whether you're a franchise buyer, a franchisor, if you work in the franchise industry, this is an interesting episode for you to listen to and important, especially for franchise buyers and I think franchisors, as we get into some of the nitty-gritty of typical opening rates of franchises, how many brands are actually sharing financials, number of operating franchises, and so on. So this is a really important episode if you're serious about buying franchises or, again, within the franchise industry and looking to grow. So yeah, hope you enjoy and let's get right to it.
The Wolf of Franchises is the CEO of Wolfpack Franchising, as well as a creator at Workweek Media. All opinions expressed by The Wolf and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Wolfpack Franchising or Workweek. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The Wolf, Workweek, and Wolfpack Franchising may maintain positions in the franchises discussed on this podcast.
Hey guys, so I'm going to go through 10 super interesting facts about the franchise industry. This is super important for many different members of the ecosystem, especially franchisors, anyone considering buying a franchise, possibly lenders and other companies in the space as well. I think there's a lot of noise around the industry at large, and my goal here is just to cut through it, provide some clarity. But again, franchise buyers and franchisors especially, I think this will be some interesting intel for everyone. So before getting to the 10 data points, I think it's important just to set the stage as far as, where the data is coming from and a few things to keep in mind. So with Crockett, we have close to 2,300 franchise profiles available there, and we've scraped FDDs from all those brands between the years 2020 to 2023. There are, of course, more than, 2,300 franchises in America, which I'll dive into more on how many active franchises there are within the first data point. But all in all, 2,300 is still a fantastic sample size for brands to kind of extrapolate, data points in the whole industry for. And, that 2,300 number includes all the massive brands. So it is a very solid indicator of franchises at large, right? We're not missing, any McDonald's or Subways or franchises like that. So kind of without further ado, honestly, so that first data point is there are 3,000 active franchise brands in America. There's a lot of media sources that cite there's 4,000 franchises in America. I probably at various points over the last few years since, starting the Twitter account, I probably used that 4,000 number because everyone just kind of seems to say it. The reality is, so with Crockett, right, I mentioned we have close to 2,300 franchises live in the platform. We also have another about 700 FTDs in process that are currently going through kind of our data algorithm process before it ends up live on Crockett to be viewed. And we've gotten that number by scraping every state website possible that has FTDs, working directly with state departments to get FTDs sent directly to us. And in a few cases, we even had to pay for it to get, a lump sum of FTD files, as well as even some what I'd call like some secret sources of websites and other sources where we can get FTDs that I'd guess most of the industry probably isn't aware of. So I'll keep that proprietary. But the point is, after doing all this, with the 2,300 we currently have and the 700-ish or so in process, right, we're still well shy of 4,000 brands. That only gets us up to about a little less than 3,000. So I had to ask myself, like, how are we not able to find the other, apparently, 1,000 brands that are out there? But other, sources are claiming that they're able to back that up. So I actually, and in some cases, colleagues of mine or, friends in the industry kind of got some intel from, there's only really two other data companies in franchising. And so lo and behold, we discovered from employees, and in one case, the actual CEO of the company, and this both independently reached out to, so totally unrelated, but they both said to us that the number of active franchises brands, so not number of like brands that are currently, have had an FDD recently, we're talking about brands that are active today, year after year in 2023, That number, despite them advertising different numbers, you know, one advertised, I think, almost like 7,000 franchises or something like that. Both have said the actual number of franchise brands actively growing today is 3,000. There are, you know, brands that maybe were franchising 10 years ago, but haven't sold a unit in, again, over a decade or what have you. So that's just the first interesting data point. I think a lot of people would have thought there's 4,000. I certainly thought that when I was beginning my journey helping build Crockett. But it turns out really only about 3,000, give or take, probably a couple hundred, I'd guess. You know, it's hard to say for certain because there are brands that are only one or two locations in and they don't file federally. They only file their franchise registration for their state. So there's definitely some brands that we may not know about. But, you know, generally speaking, once you're beyond, honestly, 5, 10, 15 locations, those FDDs are pretty available on the internet. And there's usually been press releases as well on those brands as they grow. So it's easier to get a hold of them. But yeah, it's really only 3,000. And so going off of that, the second data point is there's only 550,000 franchise territories or locations operating in the US. That also was a shock for me, as the number cited for the number of franchises currently operating is 800,000. And that's pretty common. If you Google, you know, how many franchises are open and operating in 2023, you'll see the 800,000 or near it, maybe 790 something thousand. However, we added up, you know, we have all the data in our backend system. So we added up for at least the 2,300 brands. It comes out to the total locations open today for those brands is about 509,000. And again, right, we're missing, right? If we're going to believe that 3,000 brand number, we are still having to add 700 or so brands in to Crockett before we can factor in these numbers. But, you know, we have all the big fast food brands, the McDonald's, the Subways, which have, you know, combined like 40 plus thousand in America alone. And this is just for America, by the way, not worldwide. We have all the fitness brands, the Orange Theories, the Planet Fitnesses, the Anytime Fitnesses, and we have all the hotel brands. So like those are the brands that are going to drive that unit count up pretty high, because that, you know, some of these brands, right, have tens of thousands to, you know, four figures just in the thousands. But so even with that, right, those 700 brands, they're all going to be smaller brands. So, you know, I kind of just added 40,000 locations just to kind of be conservative with an estimate. So it could be theoretically less than, you know, 550,000 locations operating. But either way, that's a 30% haircut on the size of the industry in terms of units relative to what is being commonly quoted. Third data point, the median number of locations open per franchise is 38. So this is more for franchisors and actually anyone buying a franchise, right? Because the reality here is that franchise expansion is incredibly difficult. Right. A lot of people look at McDonald's or, again, like, you know, Planet Fitness, some of these bigger franchise brands. But the typical franchise only has 38 locations open. Right. And the average units open is 222. But that is why I actually prefer the median for this statistic, because, you know, those bigger brands really drive that average up. So it's a bit deceptive. So those massive brands, they're the exception, not the rule. And so a lot of folks in the industry may talk about how many units are being sold, but units sold doesn't matter. If it's how many are you getting open? And I know I'm a broken record with talking about Crumbl Cookies, but the reality is they have 900 plus locations open in just 6 years. And so they deserve a lot of the recognition they get, because again, like, the numbers don't lie. The majority of franchises can't handle that growth. And this kind of goes right into data point number four, which is the median unit growth per franchise per year is just 2 to 4 locations. Right. So most franchises are only opening 2 to 4 units a year. And the caveat here is that only factors in annual location growth data since 2019. So perhaps prior to 2019, that growth per unit per year was higher. But I, you know, I doubt it was probably couldn't have been too much higher. I don't think anything's changed that drastically over the last decades that would, you know, increase that opening rate. But yeah, overall, I mean, look, it's difficult to get franchisees locations, to get them open, to get them onboarded. And that's kind of reflected here in this stat. So, you know, if you see a brand that has, you know, is advertising hundreds of units sold, I mean, there's a, statistically speaking, a very high chance that they're not going to open that many of them. You know, it's going to take a long time to open all the units they have sold. There are obviously outliers. Like I said, Crumbl Cookies, Orange Theory, Club Pilates, you know, there's a lot of brands that have grown quite a bit in 5 to 10 year timeframe. But it's few and far between. Halfway through here, guys. So the fifth data point, the average founded date for franchises is 1997. So I don't really have too much to add here. For new franchisors, if you're thinking of franchising your concept and you think, you know, maybe you're dreaming of, oh, we can have hundreds of locations pretty quickly, you want to temper those expectations accordingly, not just because of the prior stats, but, you know, the majority of franchises you're looking at today were founded more than two decades ago, the average, right? So the bottom line is growth takes time. And so data point number six, the average franchising date is 2007. So given the previous stat, the typical franchise has corporate locations for almost a decade or about a decade before they decide to franchise the business. I personally don't think that should be a rule or anything, but felt it was an interesting stat to put out there. Data point number seven. So within the last 3 years, the average failure rate of a brand is 17%. Now, look, there's a lot of kind of crap out there for this stat. You know, when it comes to the failure rate of franchises, you know, I've seen brokers promoting 95% success rate for franchises. However, at large, right, that's clearly false. You know, it's about an 83% success rate. So my advice to anyone evaluating a franchise is ask the franchisor that question, right? If they have been open for longer, you know, newer franchises, you know, some of them are probably, again, just two. If they're within the first few years of franchising, it's very unlikely. I mean, hopefully that they haven't closed a unit yet. But the brands that have been around for 5, 10 plus years, it's certainly long enough where there could be some failure. So you want to understand that. And better yet, go to item 20, table 3 in the FDD, and you can get that number yourself for franchise terminations and units closed by the franchisor. So I would actually take that number first and then ask the question to see how they respond. That'll give you an indicator of how honest is the sales team being with you at that point. So factor in that the failure rate is important to understand for any brand. And, you know, my thoughts are with failure rates is franchising wide, it doesn't matter for you as a buyer. You should only be focused on the brands you're actually really seriously considering getting into. And just as one kind of, I guess, another data point from a specific brand is Culver's, right? I've definitely mentioned this at various points, but they've been franchising since the late 1980s and they've only ever closed two units. So that's a very, very, very high success rate. You know, they have over 900 locations open today. So that's a multi-decade history of being able to keep franchisees in business and not only keep them in business. I mean, they're doing great. Their average unit volume continues to climb. But so they clearly, right, that's a 99%+ success rate, less than a 1% failure rate. You know, if you're going to open a burger shop, I would not want to do it near Culver's because those guys are going to kick butt in that area. So yeah, failure rate's very important to keep in mind. Data point number eight, 46% of franchises, they don't share any financials in their FDD. So I'm not surprised by this, right? The last 26 months, my newsletter, you know, I send two out a week. The second one on Thursdays, I break down two emerging franchises that share data in their FDD. But I can tell you firsthand, the hardest part of writing that second newsletter is simply finding brands that are actually sharing information. And Crockett has obviously made it easier for myself. I use it internally just to, you know, find brands to write about. But you know, at times it took me hours just to find a single brand that even was sharing data, never mind meeting the threshold and the kind of performance requirement that I like to hit to be able to, you know, think it's worth it to even share with you guys as an audience. But yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, the reality is the large majority of brands are charging royalties based on a percentage of sales. And so these point of sale systems, I mean, they track to the cent how much money every franchisee is making, right, on the revenue side. So at a minimum, it's very easy for franchisors based on the royalties that they're being sent from their franchisees to understand how much money that franchisee has actually made on a yearly basis, on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis. And they can back it up with the point of sale data. So there's really no excuse that franchisors shouldn't have to report their average unit volume. I think it could theoretically get a bit trickier for brands that, you know, have a fixed royalty rate and are in the home services space. And maybe it's not a pure play point of sale system like Toast or Square or Clover, like a lot of the retail and brick and mortar brands use. But still, I'm sure there's a way. I mean, it's 2023. Elon Musk is putting people on the moon and into outer space for fun. I'm sure franchises can figure out how to, you know, track the average revenue per franchisee in their system. However, today, just keep in mind that half of the brands aren't sharing a single lick of financials. Data point number nine, Only 11% of franchises share profitability metrics in their FDD. So kudos to those brands that are, and that's why you're always getting coverage in my newsletter. I am a big fan of transparency for franchise buyers. I think it would, if there was more disclosure requirements, the transparent and higher performing brands would naturally get more exposure because it would just be blatantly obvious which brands are actually performing the best at large. Hopefully the FTC steps in at some point, you know, and requires a little bit more disclosure, but I'll stop harping on that for now. But, you know, that just relates again back to the last data point. Most brands aren't sharing data. Only about 10, 11% are sharing profitability metrics. Obviously, during your franchise due diligence process, you can always talk to franchisees and they're able to share anything with you. They could share full P&Ls, income statements, et cetera, from their QuickBooks or whatever their accounting software is. You know, they don't have the same regulatory requirements as a salesperson at the franchisor does. So even for brands that don't share financials in the FDD, it's not like you're stuck and will never be able to understand the potential money you can make before buying the franchise. You can always get it from the franchisees. It just requires a bit of tact during the conversation. You know, it can be a bit awkward to just say, hey, you invested, you know, 700 grand. How much money have you made so far? All right. It's a bit of a touchy subject, but, you know, I think there's certainly franchisees who are more than happy to share how they're doing. One of my buddies used to say that whenever he looks at a franchise, he finds the owners that are in the New York or New Jersey or Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area. And he calls those ones first because he says Northeasterners, you know, will tell you how it is right away. They don't hold back. So keep that in mind. It's kind of a funny strategy, but I actually agree with it. Being a native New Jersey person who's lived in California and Texas, they are definitely more direct here in the Northeast. Anyway, moving on. Last data point. The average number of units signed for, but not opened, is 19 for a franchise. Said differently, if that was confusing, your typical franchise will have 19 units signed for and quote unquote in development, meaning existing franchise owners are contractually signed to open more units. And this data point, you know, maybe more interesting for franchisors and franchise sales organizations. I would have thought it was higher. You know, there's some franchise sales organizations that, you know, sell a minimum of 50 units a year per brand they work with, which is not an easy thing to do. Again, I think that metric is overly focused on, as I've said before on this show already. But yeah, I guess franchise-wide, right, most brands are probably just doing development internally. So it doesn't surprise me after kind of reconsidering that fact that perhaps, you know, the number is lower for a reason. But again, I would not get fooled by the units sold metric. I mean, I've spoken with brands that quite literally have over 100 units sold and then the next year opened less than 5 locations. It is incredibly difficult to get units open. You know, there's so many factors between real estate and the onboarding process of the franchisor. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. Again, credit to the brands that aren't just selling units, they're actually getting them open and they're maintaining profitable economics along the way. I mean, that's the whole name of the game for franchises, folks. So yeah, these are 10 stats in the industry I thought it'd be interesting to share, do a little bit of a different episode relative to just the typical interviews I've been conducting. But yeah, if there's any questions, any feedback, give me a shout on Twitter. Hopefully this was helpful for everyone who listened. And yeah, we'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening to Franchise Empires. We're coming to you soon with actionable insights to take the next step on your franchise journey. So make sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen.